over $8.5 billion a year. All told, these churches are impressive forces flourishing in staggering rates. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know what the gospel did to a brother in my house on Wednesday, Mark.
Yeah.
And the brother was dredged in sin and tried to tell three other brothers to join the plunge with him, and we wouldn't do it. And do you know what? Most of the people that go to churches like that are just like that.
Yes.
See what I mean?
Based on what he was saying, most people will find a way and justify being unbiblical.
The article goes on and says, on a megachurch database updated by the Hartford Institute for Religious Research at Hartford Seminary in Connecticut, Second Baptist in Houston is listed as the second largest based on average weekly attendance. Number one is the, you guessed it, the Lakewood Church.
Brother Joel.
Joel Osteen. And, oh my goodness, 5 miles from Second Baptist. In other words, these churches are 5 miles apart. Man, what's wrong with these Southern? What's wrong with these
Second, second place has got 24,000 a week.
24.
That's second place.
That's
just
second
in Houston.
Place. Man. And rounding out the top 10 are North Point Community Church near Atlanta, Willow Creek Community Church near Chicago, Life Church TV of Edmond, Oklahoma, West Angeles Church of God in Christ in Los Angeles, Fellowship Church of Grapevine, Texas, Saddleback Valley Community Church of Lake Forest, California, Calvary Chapel of Fort Lauderdale, and the Potter's House, T.D. Jakes, in Texas. Now, geez, now, MacArthur's church isn't that big, obviously, because it doesn't even rate.
Not on the top 10.
It's not on the top 10. It's not on the top 10 because of the very conservative teaching. They don't allow women to pastor there, and supposedly they are teaching Bible. I am just concerned about Grace Community Church with its affiliations with socialists and the premiers of certain countries, instead of telling those people that those socialistic political mindsets will send you to hell.
And that's the exact same thing that Rick Warren is doing with Rwanda, trying to make Rwanda a purpose-driven nation.
Wow. Yeah. This is what they do. Second Baptist 21st Century Worship Center is being refurbished since Hurricane Ike hit it last year. Originally built in 1986 for, look at this, $34
million. That's in 1986
dollars. That's in 1986. Man, can you believe that? For $34 million, the church is spending $8 million for repairs and upgrades, not including what insurance covered. An electronic projection system will display scripture verses around the cavernous octagonal
balconied room, which will seat about 6,500 people under a dome that reaches six stories high.
So this is going to be like the Staples Center with big screens showing everybody everything, putting a Bible. Why don't the people bring their Bible? They wouldn't have to spend that money for that if people brought their Bibles and looked up the scriptures themselves. Mm-hmm. As a man of God.
They can't do that because they keep switching around. They pull one verse out of one Bible, another verse out of a different Bible. They mix and match with all of those false translations to manipulate the message. And the only way that they can do that is by displaying them somewhere as you then flip from NASB when they so choose a scripture or half a scripture from that. Then the Living Bible and the Women's Study Bible and all these different Bibles. So.
Wow. So that's why they do it that way. Mark, you're
right,
going
to. And that discourages you from bringing a Bible. Because it's all set out for you. They give you a handout which has the few points of the scripture and a couple fill in the blanks, and basically all you have to do is just bring your body, and then they are going to give you the little handout, and they've got the little golf pencils in the pews in front of you if you want to put the word of the day in each of the three boxes. By the end, when you get all three boxes filled out, then the sermon's over and you're ready to go home.
And so, we aren't talking about Grace Community Church, because they don't do that yet.
Right. And so we're talking about people that by this number, the things that they're accomplishing, number one, by switching the Bibles and using the multiple translations, picking and choosing verses in such a way to manipulate the message rather than exegete the message out of the scripture the way it was written originally.
Right.
So, number one, they're giving a false message. And then secondly, they're discouraging you from even bringing a Bible. You don't even know which Bible to buy, because he's quoting out of 10 different translations, so you don't buy any. And that's perfectly Satan's plan, is to keep you out of the Word.
Right.
And that's what you and I were talking about in MacArthur's case, is every time he writes a book...
Say it. That's it.
Then, and he sells the book every single broadcast. At the end of the day, he's got a new resource, a new book, a new this, a new that, that he wrote that he wants you to be involved with. And so every time he gets you involved with that, he gets you exvolved from the Word of God. You are removed from the Word of God. And that's Satan's plan.
Man, hold that point. Mark, you were going to say something, because we're going to come back to that. We got to talk more about that. Go ahead, Mark.
In order for these places to perpetuate that they are the biggest place and they are the best place, they have to take that money that they use and put it up so the people can see it with material things. Big screen, big lights, big stage. So in order for you to prove that you are the place, you have to show that money.
But that's competition, and that goes against the very nature of what Christianity is in the first place. You got churches 5 miles apart from each other doing this stuff, and that's not to discount the Potter's houses in Dallas. Tony Evans' church is in Dallas, and you have all these mega churches around there.
Well, like Bob said, the idea that you don't have to bring your Bible, these people will most likely tell that to their friends. Well, we don't have to bring stuff. They already have it up on the wall. So that's another bragging point to say, well, we have the money. You don't have to do much because we're doing it for you.
And the fancier the building, the people have an innate something in human nature and not in the godly nature, in the flesh nature, to be a part of the biggest, newest, greatest thing.
All the
and
stuff
so when
there.
Everybody's talking about, well, who's your pastor? Well, I'm Joel Osteen. Oh, wow, that must be wonderful to be able to sit under him. I mean, everybody knows who he is.
I couldn't
And
even...
then you got the big building now that's 6 stories tall, and it's got multifaceted windows.
Octagon.
And the best projection and the best sound. Now the other people have to renovate theirs because they're behind this one.
So. And to show you how old-fashioned I am, I couldn't even say the words cadaver, octagonal stuff. Man, I don't even know what that is.
Right, cavernous, like a big, huge cavern.
Like you're
and
in a...
octagonal, it's eight-sided.
Yeah.
So it's like the octagonal ring that the mixed martial arts people fight in, and the ultimate fighters fight in the octagon. Well, this is a big, huge octagon where the devil's shredding people.
Man, this is man, this is sick. Let's
just take the stop sign. It has the 8 sides around it, and that's how big they want to be in shape.
Because see, like
you can
when
fit
you're,
everybody in that big circle.
When you're mentioning that within the context of a church, my brain doesn't go there.
Yeah, right.
Because
but you're very close when you liken it to something like a Staples Center. This is the newest stadium. This is the newest, latest, and greatest upgrade from the old raunchy Forum. Now you've got the Staples Center.
All right,
similarly, now on the church scale, you've got something fancier.
Somebody's going to say to you, Bob. Somebody's going to say to you, all right, well, John MacArthur's a great Bible. Well, the book thing is heavy with you. This South American connection with his mission group is big to me, because when I get more time, I'm going to read into that. That's devilish, because in this article that I read thus far, it's saying that he's getting some money from the government, man. And so he's sending agents down there under the guise of preparing men to preach the gospel. But come on, man. That's infiltration from the American government into another government.
Uh-huh.
That's what that is. And Christians have no business taking money.
See, this isn't the American government. If you remember, like Rick Warren doing all this stuff with Rwanda. He's a member of the CFR. He's the Council on Foreign Relations. This is one world government infiltrating small countries. And that's where the money trail goes. Just like they said that right. education system comes from UNESCO. That's right. the United Nations. That's world government. This is world government infiltration into all the countries. It's not the U.S. dominating other countries. This is world government.
And the church should ask their pastor, why are they involved with this infringement? Because Christianity does not allow that. It does not allow that.
See, and that was the issue that the gentleman who wrote us brought up early. Within MacArthur's camp was, why are you supporting Al Mohler, who is part of the Southern Baptist Convention, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who has United Nations non-governmental organizational status with the United Nations? Why are you tying yourself to this person?
And he
hit a brick wall when he tried to expose that and just ask the simple question, why?
Not only did he hit a brick wall, I did, because after I was told that, I went on the UN website and saw his name as listed at one of those NGOs there. And I said, I'm looking at Al Mohler on that thing. And then when this gentleman that we're talking about trying to contact Grace Community Church, you didn't see those people's name on that list anymore. Because they removed it. Because they don't want the Christians to know what they're doing.
Right. Once there's a dissent and a red flag goes up, then all of a sudden they change the website
right.
or block access to it.
Right, right.
The page no longer available.
Absolutely, absolutely. These people are wicked. And I don't care if they get up and exegete, eisegete, and eat some jeet. They are crazy. And you people that know this church and know these people need to question them. Or stop giving your money. And, all right, I'm just going to say it. I wasn't going to say this. I'll deny it. I'm getting off of a plane coming from back east. And I'm carrying my own bag, coming out to the airport, waiting on a person to come and pick me up. Lo and behold, right behind me, Dr. MacArthur's coming out the airport. Got two guys dressed like CIA agents around him carrying his stuff. He had a little pulling cart like I had. He could have carried it himself. And gets in a blacked out, fogged out limo, looked like an armor-proof truck with these guys with things in their ears talking to somebody. And I said, what the heck is this dude a preacher? And you guys know me about this. Why does a preacher need that kind of security? And it was John MacArthur. And I said, what is this? Now, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. I don't care whether you believe me at all. You know what? I was talking about Big Brother is watching you. And they're watching you from their pulpits. Now, let's get back to Bob's statement. Why is it every time he does a Bible study on Grace to You, he's selling a book? You people need to ask that question. When the Bible study is over, it was a great sermon. All they should do is say, thank you for listening to the Word of God and go off the air. But he got his man saying, John, what else can you tell the people about this? Well, George, I just finished another book. Now, you know what you people are doing? You're reading his books when you need to close them and start reading the Bible. That's why you're going to, wait a minute, you don't believe me yet. I'm going to keep reading because, see, this article would convince you that you've been had. Goes on and says, listen to this, an electronic projection. I read that. There are towering columns and larger than life faceted glass windows depicting the biblical stories of the beginning and ending of mankind. Yeah. See, this is taking you through Disneyland in the church. And he says, you won't find anything in there that is ostentatious.
Ostentatious.
Thank you.
It sounds ostentatious from what I can hear, what I can hear here.
You continue to read, Bob.
He says, you'll find beauty, yeah. Pastor Young says. God's house ought to be beautiful. Young, a self-described redneck, blue-collar, South Mississippi country boy and son of a utility pole lineman, started his flock in 1978 with 300 attendees,
yep,
less than half the teenagers baptized at the beach recently. It's a phenomenon of this generation, he says, of the sheer size and growth of congregations like his. It's meeting some niche there. And I think that's a key operative word there.
Yes.
He's meeting a felt need that the humans have.
Right.
He's feeding their flesh. They have a certain thing that their flesh is desiring. He's offering it, and they're flocking. Because the Word of God isn't popular. The Word of God causes division. It causes people to hate you. It causes people to not want to be around you. It doesn't cause people to flock. As soon as it's popular, there's already something wrong with it.
What is the niche that Grace Community Church is meeting? That's the intellectual Christian. That's the ones that says, we have the smartest man in the pulpit. We have the smartest pastors that we train.
We have the most theology.
We have the most theology. And you know what? That is a form of idolatry. Mm-hmm. That is a form of idolatry. They had so much theology. And Mark, you remember this. When our church was in South Central, they would send a small cadre of people into Watts.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know how to talk to the people in the inner city about Christ. Hmm. I had just got through preaching. And I had to go out because they had a helps ministry team come that were going to give clothes and food to the poor people. And I said, well, preach to them. Share your faith. These people from Grace Community Church, they couldn't do it. Hmm. They said, Pastor John, you speak their language.
They also treated South Central, even though they were just, who knows, from like the valley, as if this was a foreign country because they would let their kids live with a family, Bob, for like, a week.
Like a foreign exchange student.
Yes, they were foreign exchange from the Valley or Orange County, wherever they came from, because they were going to his church and to the school, and so they would have a week to stay with a family, as if this was some foreign country, and they had to come over here and learn how to deal with or talk to or relate to other Christians in their home.
And these are Christians in America. And so that's the niche that each church meets. Each ministry has a niche. That is unbiblical. There is no niches in the Bible. We are to be Christians. But, you know, there you are. Mega churches.
So he continues on. Megachurches considered Protestant, with more than 2,000 people attending each week, cut a wide swath across the country. In 2005, California led the nation with 178 of them, followed by 157 in Texas and 85 in Florida. According to the book Beyond Megachurch Myths, What We Can Learn from America's Largest Churches, we believe it is only a matter of time until every state has a congregation of megachurch size, writes authors Scott Thuma and Dave Travis.
Wow.
Americans have not only grown accustomed to large organizations, but they have even had their character and tastes shaped by them.
And that's my difficulty.
Right. They've been shaped by the world.
Yes.
And molded into a shape that makes them accept this as a church.
And that model is not the godly model. It has never been the godly model. You see what I'm talking about? But it's shaped and molded. Now, when these guys are behind that pulpit, it's like they have to get up and say, this thing has grown too huge and I'm shutting it down or I quit. But he won't do that because he's working for someone else. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when it becomes that big, there's another agenda behind